This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah al-Azim al-Khabir al-Muta'ali, Alhamdulillah al-Ladhi la tuhjibuhu zulumat al-Layali, Alhamdulillah al-Ladhi arsal jibal al-Awali, Subhanahu min ilahin azim yaghfiru al-Zunub wa la yubali. لا إله إلا الله بها نحيا وبها نموت وبها نلقى الله وبها نوالي وأشهد أن عظيمنا وقدوتنا ومولانا قرة عيني محمد ابن عبد الله عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة فكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. My beloved brethren, most respected elders, mothers and sisters, yesterday I put it to you that if you let your lives be touched by the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will reach the pinnacle of human achievement. I want to say that again. If you let your lives be touched by the life of the Prophet, you will reach the pinnacles of human achievement. And I cited certain examples from the near and dear of the Prophet, his immediate family, who reached amazing maqams and stations and status in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the creation, because they allowed themselves to be molded and reformed and transformed by the character of the Prophet. Now, you've been hearing for the last few minutes about key components of the character of the Rasul, and just listening to it and contemplating and trying to take it in, you can't help but reaffirm the verse of the Quran, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, verily O Muhammad, thou art on a most sublime and exalted pinnacle of character. Now, to give you certain examples away from the family of the Prophet, because you might say, you know, Khadija was family, of course it would happen, Aisha's family, of course would. I want to take it to the general Muslims. And I want to come to the empirical evidence if need be later. Time is running very fast, but the gauge by which the companions wanted to be measured against was the gauge of Allah and the gauge of the Prophet. And this is what Allah Rabbul Izzah said about them when they allowed themselves to be transformed by the conduct of the Prophet and the teachings of the Quran. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Imagine this status, Allah Rabbul Izzah is pleased with the believers, as in the companions, those who swore allegiance to you under the tree. And understand, once Allah is pleased, He will not be displeased again. So Allah Rabbul Izzah has certified their acceptance and their elevation and their status in the Quran, which will be recited till Qiyamah come, as being on the highest level of human achievement. Allah is pleased with them. What else do you want? And then Allah Rabbul Izzah says in another verse, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You are, this verse is revealed with regards to the companions. So the companions explicitly and the Ummah implicitly, you are the best of nations ever to have been brought out to humanity. Do you see status and achievement? That the Creator says, you are the best things ever to have been brought out upon humanity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we move, you know, you need to fathom the level at which the Sahaba reached and came to and acquired. Listen to this, just so that it's a gauge for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tuba liman ra'ani glad tidings to those that laid eyes upon me, as in my companions, those who lived with me and learned from me and were molded by me. Glad tidings to those that have seen me. And such is their honor that Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tuba liman ra'a man ra'ani," and glad tidings to those that see the ones that saw me. Let me explain. The Rasul says, alayhi afdala salatu wa atamu taslim, yaghzu fi'amun minan nas. A group of people will be in a campaign. There will be a confrontation. Two sides have met and no side is winning. It is deadlock, gridlock, stuck, stalemate. And then the leader of the camp says, "Afikum man ra'a aw sahaba Rasulullah?" Is there someone in this gathering that has laid eyes on the Prophet or was a companion of the Prophet? A person will say, "I saw the Prophet. I lived with the Prophet," as in I was a companion of the Prophet. The Rasul says, Allah will grant victory to the whole campaign. Why? Because amidst you exists someone that laid eyes upon me. Do you see the status of the companions? And not only that, so the Rasul says, time will pass, another generation will come, and there will be another stalemate, the deadlock, no one's winning. So then the person will say, "Afikum man sahaba Rasulullah?" Is there someone here that has become the companion of those who were the companions of the Prophet? Like, is there someone whose life has been touched by the ones whose lives were touched by the Prophet of God? And a person will say, "I am a tabi'i, I saw a companion." The Prophet says, Allah will grant victory to the whole campaign because simply amidst you exists someone who has seen, someone that saw my Prophet. And I said, do you see level in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of the Prophet? Here's another hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, La tasubbu ashabi. Don't ever insult my companions. Don't ever insult my companions. Fawallazi nafsi biyadih. By the one in whose hand is my life. If you were to spend, listen Muslims, if you were to spend the mountain of Uhud in gold, and my companion were to spend a handful of dates in gold, his handful of dates will outdo your mountain of gold. Like, if you were to give the mountain of Uhud in gold, dig it up, give it a sadaqah, and a companion were to come and give a handful of dates, his handful of dates will supersede your mountain of gold any day of the week. And I've got news for you, dear ones. You will never give a mountain of gold in charity. You won't give a kilo of gold in charity. You know, best you will do a few dollars here, a few there. But if it was a mountain you give, Allah says, if the companion of the Rasul were to give a handful of gold in a handful of dates and sadaqah, it is more preferred to me than your mountain. Do you see the status they have reached in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of the Rasul? So the question is, what were the competencies? You know, what are the characteristics, traits of these individuals that made them reach this status in the eyes of the Lord? So I will rush through it and I will try to honor this time and we'll see how it goes. The first characteristic is Iman. The companion's level of faith was at a level that ours is not. I will explain. So the Rasul used to talk to them as we talk to you, and Allah Rabbul Izzah accept. But if the Rasul started to talk about Jahannam, they would cry like babies cry till their beards would soak wet and the water would drip under their feet. Do you know why a person cries so intensely? When the utterance is a reality to them. So Jahannam, which is a part of the Akhirah, a part of belief, was reality to them. They used to fear it as you would fear proper fire in a volcano. If they talked about Jannah, here's a beautiful story. A Sahabi went on a campaign, was away for a long time, came back, and the sunnah is you go to the mosque and let your family know I am coming, so that the wife can get situated, prepared, get in the right state of mind to receive the, her husband. So, and the kids can get ready. Otherwise, psychologically, it's an anti-climax. If you come in, everyone's busy, no one's receiving you. You've imagined a red carpet reception and nothing happens. So the sunnah is go to the masjid, let the family know you're coming. So he did this. There's anticipation at home, he's coming. So he came, the kids ran, hugged, kissed, met the wife, had food, dinner, and then the kids went to sleep, and the wife goes to bed waiting for her husband to come to bed. So he comes and says, listen, can I just pray 2 rak'ah before coming to bed? So she says, yes. He started Allahu Akbar and started reciting and stayed in salah till the adhan of fajr came, zoned out, came, and she said, subhanallah, you went, you campaigned, you are away, you met your kids, you had food, don't I have any right? Like, don't I have a right of companionship? So he said, yes, you do, but I started reciting the verses of Jannah, and I got lost in Jannah, and came out just now. Do you see, Jannah was a reality for them. They looked at it as you look at real estate. And because of that, that level of Iman, angels is an abstract notion for you. They saw them. The hadith says, the Sahabi saw angels. The Sahabi is reciting the Quran at night. He notices lights come down from the heavens, like from above him, and his horse starts to neigh and go crazy. So he gets worried and he stops. The lights go up, the horse becomes quiet. So he starts again, the lights come down, the horse goes crazy. So he finishes his salah and he tells the Prophet the next day, this is what happened. The Rasul said, angels came down to listen to your recitation. Had you were to have continued, people would have seen them in the morning. Do you see what is abstract to you was a reality for them? And this level of Iman is a requirement. And with Iman, you will conquer the greatest obstacles that a person without Iman will never be able to come near. I want to give certain examples. Dear ones, listen to me carefully. Iman builds resilience, it builds stamina, it gives courage, it gives hope, it allows you to overcome obstacles that one without faith will struggle with. So here are certain challenges. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasul is in Medina al-Munawwara. An army comes out against him, a surprise attack. News comes that, listen, in 10 days an army is approaching you. How big? 10,000 plus. How many fighting men inside Medina? 1,400. 1,400 will face off against 10,000 plus. It is easy to hear, but it is difficult to understand and feel. Visualize this. You're in an alley, 10 people come to surround you. That was the odds. That was the odds. And they haven't come to shake hands and offer coffee. They have come to annihilate the city. So what do you think? What do you think the psychology of this 1,500 would be like? So the Quran, and the Quran describes, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظَّنُونَ. Remember when your eyes grew wide and panic and your heart started to beat at your throats and they came to attack you from behind you and front of you and your hearts, do you understand me? Difficult times. But what is the morale? What was their status like? You would hear across the Muslim camp people singing, chanting this, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhira, faghfir illahumma lil ansari wal muhajira. Oh Allah, there is no joy but the joy of akhira. Have mercy on the ansar and have mercy on the muhajirun. Do you see on the brink of annihilation? But what is the heart sahab, ya Rab, it is okay. There's no joy but the joy of akhira. And have mercy on the ansar and have mercy on the muhajirun. And they were forced to dig a trench. You know, I don't know if you, I don't think you guys do meters here. You guys do feet and yards and stuff. I'll give it in meters because I'm from Australia. So 4 meters deep, 5 meters wide, 9 to 11 kilometers long, 1,400 men have to dig it in 10 days. Today you won't do it with machinery, but they were digging night and day. And on top of that, hunger so acute that the Prophet has tied a stone or 3 stones on his stomach. Other people have tied stones on their bellies because there's no food. Can you imagine? Fear is there, annihilation in front of them. Hunger to the brink of starvation. For 3 days they haven't ate. Work that they have to finish. Weather bad. Who could survive but someone that has faith? And you hear it in their utterance. Oh Lord, there is no joy but the joy of Akhirah. This is nothing. We are looking for that, longing for that. So with your faith, you will conquer difficulties. And the Ashab had a faith that made them at a level which we haven't reached yet, but which we aspire to reach. The second one, I have 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I will end with this, inshallah ta'ala. The second competency of the Ashab, the second characteristic of the Ashab, was that they were what I call high order thinkers. The Ashab were thinkers. The Quran made them thinkers. 23 years of teaching of the Prophet forced them to become thinkers. Listen to the verses. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't you contemplate on the Quran? An order by Allah to contemplate, think. Allah Rabbul Izzah says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. This book was revealed to you, blessed, so you can think and contemplate its verses. Find solutions for your lives from it. Don't make it an obstacle and a difficulty. So I want to give... And the Ashab were intimate with the Quran. There's narrations from Uthman ibn Affan. He used to read the whole Quran in one night. But they read it with contemplation, with depth. And then they brought it into their lives. So just to show you that they were thinkers. You see, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab, a plague came. And people were dying like fleas. So Umar ibn al-Khattab is busy, he's running a whole empire, so he sent a message to Amr ibn al-As, and he said, Ya Amr, look into this matter, look into this plague, what's happening? So Amr says, فَنَظَرْتُ فِيهِ, I looked at it, as in I analyzed it, synthesized it, you know, broke it up to see what, and I realized that the deaths happen in centers of population. So that it is transferred from person to person. So Amr gave a decree. Everyone separate from everyone else. Go into the mountains and into the deserts until further notice. So everyone separated, quarantined. Whoever had the contamination died. And everyone else was left. A few days later, there's no more cases of the people dying from this plague. If today the same thing were to happen, the World Health Organization would struggle to find the solution. But the students of Muhammad were thinkers. So today we have forgotten to think. We celebrate memorization, rote learning, repeating and regurgitation. And we have forgot to reach the level of synthesis and analysis and creation of solutions for our world. And I hope and pray, and as I look at the thousands sitting before me here, that amidst you the youth will come again and be trained to become people with faith, following the model of the Prophet, and ability to think and solve the problems that they will face tomorrow.